Hello, it's Misty Nirsky, and I'm going to be doing day number 17 of my MXTXtober prompts. And today's prompt is Kiss. And I have chosen a scumvillain fic, and I'm super excited. I have, I have vaguely skimmed this fic, and Kiss does play a part in it, even though it, you know, on the surface it doesn't have anything to do with kissing. Most fanfictions do have kissing in them. But anyway, but yeah, so this is part of a challenge I am doing for October, where I do a fic every a podfic every single day of October. You know, bearing, you know, take off you a couple days where I'm too busy, but I try to catch up. And I follow a series of prompts from an Instagram page who is setting up the challenge that I have linked in the notes. And yeah, I'm doing kind of cold read style podfix, where I'm not doing as much editing, and I also might interject depending on like the mood and everything. So the fic I have chosen is I'm His Husband by Asenor. Summary. Lor Bingha wakes up in the wilderness with no memories and an equally beautiful and equally amnesiac man next to him. Knowing only that he's married, he 100% absolutely correctly identifies who his husband is on the first try. A plus work, Bingha. Lor Bingha wakes up. He does not, of course, know that he is Lor Bingha. All he knows is that he is wearing long, fine robes, that there is another man similarly dressed next to him, and that a giant bug-like monster is seconds from enveloping both of them in its massive maw. There's no time to think. Lor Bingha flips to his feet and grabs the unconscious man under the legs and shoulders, carrying him princess-style and leaping into the air atop a large rock outcropping. The monstrous bug, skittering to a halt, glances up at them with glittering, multifaceted eyes, craning its invisibly small neck from side to side and flicking its wing casings open and closed. Lor Bingha, arms full of someone, doesn't have a free hand to reach for any kind of weapon, nor does he appear to be carrying one. Nonetheless, he feels that a gigantic, monstrous type of creature such as this one really is getting ahead of itself. Stepping forward along the stone outcropping, Lor Bingha summons some sort of power until his clothes are crackling with it, staring the beast down with wide eyes and bared teeth. The bug takes off in a jittering flurry of wings and dust. Lor Bingha stares it down until it's disappeared over the horizon, then takes the time to finally examine their circumstances. He glances down at where they were lying, but all he sees is unmarked earth, nothing to indicate what happened to them. Carefully setting down the man in his arms so that he's half lying on the ground, handsome head cradled in his arm, he studies him. A beautiful face, very expensive silvery white robes that must be excruciating to wash, a fine guan upon his hair, slightly loose from the carrying. He wears silver vambraces and white boots, but carries no sword or anything else identifiable. Lor Bingha professionally parts the open side of his robe and checks within. He's carrying nothing. Reader's note, professionally, yeah, okay. This is try not to call him handsome slash beautiful challenge. Anyway, sorry. Frowning, Lor Bingha turns to himself, gently laying the man's head to rest on a clean sweep of rock. He's similarly dressed, though with a much darker and easier to clean fabric. There's no ornament in his hair, nor is it done up in the same style. Simply half pulled back into a tie, then left to fall loose and curling around his shoulders. His chankun sleeves are full of everything imaginable. Food, beverages, medical supplies, a knife or two, various scholarly-looking books, ropes, night pearls, but nothing that sparks any kind of memory in him. He carries all this stuff, and the other man none. They must be a good match as travelling partners, he supposes. When he checks his own pocket above his heart, it's empty but for one thing. Frowning, Law Bingha pulls out a soft cloth satchel. Within the elegantly embroidered bag, there's nothing except for two locks of hair tied together. Law Bingha's heart skips a beat as he stares down at it, then glances at the beautiful man lying unconscious next to him. He runs his fingers along the black hair and carefully replaces it in the bag, shifts closer. Curiously, he reaches out to rub his thumb along the man's cheekbone. When their skin touches, he feels a pull. Instinctively, he pushes his spiritual energy into the other man, sliding his hand down to his chest to strengthen the flow. He stares at the man's face. There's a beauty mark under one of his eyes, very charming. His eyelashes are long and fine, his lips soft-looking. His bone structure is exquisite, like something out of a painting. Law Bingha is considering cupping his cheek in one hand to feel it for himself when the other man finally stirs. Eyes snapping open, the other man sucks in a breath, jerks upright and throws Law Bingha's hand off him, leaping to his feet and away. His movements are very elegant. "Demon!" the man cries, voice hoarse and throaty. It suits him. "How dare you!" With a wave of his hand, a beautiful white sword appears, glowing faintly. On it, their first clue, an embossing that reads Chongluan. "Do you know who you are?" Law Bingha asks, curious. "Do you know who I am?" The man's brow furrows, the slightest pause staying him before he levels the sword at Law Bingha. "What did you do to me?" he growls, eyes piercing and fiery. "Who are you?" "I think," Law Bingha says, raising both hands calmingly, "that I am your husband." Readers know I love the fact that Law Bingha sees Liu Qingge and is like, "This man is so beautiful. He cannot be anyone but my husband. Why would I be travelling with anyone who isn't my husband?" Chengluan, as Law Bingha decides to address him, doesn't remember anything. Nothing else appears to give them any hint of who they are, aside from the demon mark that apparently adorns Law Bingha's brow. With all suspicions and questions unanswered, they pick a direction and start moving together. "I don't have a sword," Law Bingha adds, sidling up to press his shoulder against Chengluan's. The man shoots him a glare and shifts away just far enough that they're not touching. "Let me ride with you?" "Why do I have one, but not you?" Chengluan says, looking him up and down suspiciously. "Don't demons carry swords?" "I'm not sure," Law Bingha says, reaching out to twirl his fingers idly around the tip of Chengluan's ponytail. Chengluan glares, but doesn't say anything. He's really very pretty. "We'll be able to move faster by flying, though, don't you think?" "Fine," Chengluan says, summoning his sword to hover in front of them and stepping lightly on. Law Bingha steps up behind him, hands easily falling to Chengluan's waist and wrapping around towards the front, pressing himself close to his back. "Off!" Xiongluan snaps, angling the sword backwards to the at the ground and slapping Lo Bingha's hands away so that he falls right off the end. You ride in front. Eventually, they find a town. Luckily, there's a ridiculous amount of money in Lo Bingha's sleeve, so he's able to book them a room at a hotel. Why are you coming in here with me? Xiongluan says, looking at Lo Bingha askance as he follows him in. I only booked us one room, Lo Bingha says innocently. What? We're married. We can share a bed? Xiongluan sputters, an attractive blush creeping over his cheekbones. We don't even know each other. How can you say that we're married? I know myself, even if I can't remember. Lo Bingha says, sliding the door shut behind him and stepping forward into Chengluan's space. Chengluan steps back and he follows, moving him towards the far wall. I would never marry someone unless I loved him with my whole heart and soul. I carry our bound hair right above my chest. Do you think I would be casual about my husband, even if I can't remember him? Chengluan says, blush deepening through his scowl. The back of his knees hit the bed, and his eyes go wide as Lo Bingha gently pushes him down. His gaze dips to Lo Bingha's lips. Husband, Lo Bingha murmurs, lowering his head down to finally... Bingha! Shidi! A voice shouts, the door slamming open. You're... Who are you? Lo Bingha snarls, rising to his feet as Chengluan seizes his sword out of thin air and levels it at the intruder, jumping out of the bed like a frog out of a hot pan. How dare you interrupt me and my husband? You're... the man says, eyes darting between Lo Bingha and Chengluan. A voice of... A look of comprehension crosses his face, then morphs into consternation. He says, have the two of you perhaps lost your memories? Why would we tell you that? Chengluan bites out, stepping forward, sword raised. He looks much more confident and in his element here than he did overwhelmed under Lo Bingha in bed, though the pretty red still paints his face. He's equally appealing in both. Shen Qingqiu says, then glances between the two of them, a pained expression crossing his face when he sees how Lo Bingha has slid a protective arm around Chengluan's waist. I'm your Shishong, he says to Chengluan. You're Liu Qingge of Sangqiong sect, and... He turns to Lo Bingha, biting his lip. Lo Bingha. Bingha. I'm your Shitsun. Reader's note. I feel like there are two modes of thinking with Shen Qingqiu here, right? Where he's like, number one, would they believe me? Like, I physically, would they even believe? Or can I convince them? Or are they just gonna... It'd be so, like, steadfast, because he knows what Bingha's like. Once he's decided something, he's going for it. Or, like, two, is he thinking, wait, let me just let this play out, you know? Let me just see how much it, you know, evolves into my fantasies. Anyway.
After enough interrogation, Lo Bingha and Lo Qingge are mostly satisfied with Shen Qingqiu, as the man introduces himself's explanation of what happened. It's a rare plant only found in the desert around where you woke up, he says, launching into a long, scholarly explanation about some kind of flora and fauna balancing situation that Lo Qingge obviously tunes out in favour of taking out his sword to clean it. Lo Bingha watches his long, elegant fingers run up and down the sword meditatively, I think. And Shen Qingqiu says, trailing off. After a beat of silence, Luo Binghe turns to look at him. He's frowning slightly.
You really don't remember anything?
He asks, searchingly. Only that I must have loved my husband very much, Luo Binghe says in Luo Qingge's direction. Luo Qingge doesn't respond, but a bit of red crawls into his ears. When Luo Binghe turns back to Shen Qingqiu, he's making a very strange face.
What?
Luo Binghe asks.
Nothing,
Shen Qingqiu says, immediately schooling his expression. The ailment is absolutely reversible, but there is, His eyes glance at the bed, and his mouth works for a moment. There's one thing that Binghe and Shidi must not do.
What?
Luo Qingge sighs, sheathing his sword and letting it disappear in a flash of light.
It's late. Are we almost done?
Binghe and Shidi must absolutely not be intimate with each other, Shen Qingqiu blurts out. It will prevent the memories from returning properly. Whether married or not, you must absolutely refrain until your memories have returned.
I see, Luo Binghe says, unhappily. Very well. Is that all?
I'll take you tomorrow to the area where we can collect the herbs for the cure, Shen Qingqiu says encouragingly. His voice goes low, directed only at Luo Binghe. Until then, just bear it, okay? There's not much to bear. Luo Binghe is here, safe and sound with his husband. Soon he'll hold him in his arms, even if they can't... Well, he'll have to show some restraint.
Very well, he says, standing up and walking to the door. I'll see Shidzhen out.
Shen Qingqiu's face flits through a variety of expressions, finally settling on resignation. He rises to his feet and lets Luo Binghe bow him out through the doorway. Luo Binghe slides the door shut and turns to Luo Qingge. Now, he says, where were we?
Husband,
Luo Binghe entreats, tears pooling in the corners of his eyes. Not even a good morning kiss?
Kissing is intimate,
Luo Qingge refutes, struggling from where Luo Binghe is cradling him against his chest.
We can't. Husband,
Luo Binghe says pleadingly, forcibly flipping Luo Qingge onto his back, so that he's pinned under Luo Binghe's weight, dipping his face very low, so that their noses almost brush. Luo Qingge's chest under him is rising and falling quickly with his breaths. He's flushed that attractive colour again.
Surely one kiss wouldn't count.
I let you hold me when we slept, didn't I? Luo Qingge snaps with no fire. Can't you be satisfied with that?
Not when husband is so beautiful,
Luo Binghe says, and Luo Qingge's ears go bright red, his gaze flicking to Luo Binghe's mouth.
So strong, so handsome.
Luo Binghe's hand slides gently up the side of Luo Qingge's neck, tilting his face up by the jaw until their lips almost brush. The heat between their bodies builds. Luo Qingge is no longer moving, even his breathing stopped.
The things I want to do to you, husband,
Luo Binghe murmurs, dipping his head, and the door slams open again.
Binghe!
Shen Qingqiu scolds, striding forward and grabbing Luo Binghe by the back of his collar like a misbehaving puppy. Luo Binghe is left kissless again.
Don't treat your shushu that way! Let him up! What are you doing in here?
Luo Qingge snaps, sitting up as Luo Binghe is hauled off him. His hair is in disarray, his inner robes half askew. He looks eminently kissable. Law being his lips tingle with how close he got.
Get up, Shenqingqiu commands, tugging Law Bingher to his feet.
Law Bingher begrudgingly lets him, out of respect for their supposed master-disciple relationship. He restrains his reaction to a steely death glare, then makes Shenqingqiu do a double take before lightly smacking his forehead with a fan from his sleeve.
None of that, he says. Now get dressed, let's go.
It takes days for them to find enough of the herbs. They're tiny, dust-coloured, and only Shenqingqiu can accurately identify them. Law Bingher is fast developing a hatred for low scrub bush, and for third wheels.
Husband, Law Bingher murmurs into Lo Qingge's hair, front pressed up tight against Lo Qingge's defined backside as they settle down for the night. His body is reacting naturally to his sexy husband's beautiful presence.
Your hands are cold, Lo Qingge says complainingly, as Law Bingher slips one into his parted robe to rest on the hot skin of his abdomen, tracing the lines of his muscle. He wants to roll Lo Qingge over, rip off those interfering robes, and trace his way down his stomach with his tongue. A pebble hits the back of Lo Bingher's head, stopping his thoughts in their tracks. Frowning, he withdraws his hand from Lo Qingge's robes, glaring over his shoulder at Shenqingqiu, who is pretending to sleep now. He buries his face back in Lo Qingge's hair in frustration, and hitches his hips a little more forward. Three pebbles hit his back in quick succession. He slides back across the ground away from Lo Qingge, mulishly.
Why do they need a chaperone?
Reader's note, that is kind of crazy to be so horny for your husband that you're willing to do it in a tent with another person there. Within rock throwing distance. Like, Bingher, please, please. Oh.
That's it, Shenqingqiu gasps, waving Lo Bingher and Lo Qingge forward into the steam of the boiling herb water poured over hot rocks. Quick, walk through it. Breathe in deeply.
It smells like plant,
Lo Bingher complains, inhaling fully nonetheless. The steam is hot enough to make him cough, but Lo Qingge beside him grimly clenches his teeth, trapping his own suppressed coughs inside. Shenqingqiu fans both of them with his folding fan as they come out, blowing the remaining tendrils of steam off their shoulders.
That's it, he declares in a self-satisfied tone. It's done. It worked, because the flowers changed colour. You two will both have your memories back within a minute or two.
The process is complete? Nothing can reverse it?
Lo Bingher asks.
Yes, you two are safe now, Shenqingqiu says with a cheerful smile. Soon you'll remember.
With no more delay, Lo Bingher forcibly tugs Lo Qingge into his arms and presses his lips against his. Lo Qingge meets him halfway, both hands coming up to clumsily frame Lo Bingher's face as he kisses him back inexpertly. A strange noise issues from Shenqingqiu. Between 1 second and the next, Lo Bingher suddenly remembers everything. With a scandalized squawk, he pushes Lo Qingge off himself, who tears himself away with a look of abject horror.
You...
Lo Qingge bites out, one finger pointing at Lo Bingher and shaking with rage as Lo Bingher frantically wipes at his mouth.
How could you, harlot?
Lo Bingher yells at Lo Qingge, barely manages to finish wiping his mouth before he's turning to Shenqingqiu with a look of anguish on his face.
Husband, he says, voice heartbroken.
Shenqingqiu's fan is fully covering his face, his eyelashes trembling. Tears begin to fall from Lo Bingher's eyes. He's broken his husband's heart, and it's all thanks to that...
Bingher,
Shenqingqiu says, voice choked back.
Should he? I hope that you are satisfied that your memories have returned. How could you let me think I was married to him? Liu Qingyan demands, pointing at Luo Bingke yet more furiously. Shen Qingqiu's tremors grow more obvious, and something that is obviously not a sob escapes him. It might, in fact, more accurately be described as a chuckle. Forgive me, Shizun, Luo Bingke wails, throwing himself at his husband. Shen Qingqiu catches him with an oof, and his familiar hand comes up to pet Luo Bingke's hair. I'm sorry, Shidi. I was worried that you two wouldn't believe me, Shen Qingqiu says, voice audibly breaking on a choked back laugh in the middle of his sentence. Oh, wait. He's laughing. Wait, let me do that again. I'm sorry, Shidi. I was worried that you two wouldn't believe me, Shen Qingqiu says, voice audibly breaking on a choked back laugh in the middle of his sentence. You're both so naturally suspicious. How could I convince you? Liu Qingyan makes a noise like a tea kettle, and the sound of Cheng Luan being summoned echoes through the field. Luo Bingke clings as tight as he can, tears watering Shen Qingqiu's robes. And you two were so devoted to each other. Don't speak to me, Luo Qingyan shouts, and the sound of Cheng Luan darting away leaves Luo Bingke and Shen Qingqiu alone. Don't kiss me, Shizun. Luo Bingke weeps into Shen Qingqiu's robes. I'm tainted, impure. I should not dirty Shizun's lips. Yes, yes, Bingke, Shen Qingqiu soothes, helping his husband up and brushing a thumb under his eye to wipe away the tears. Kiss your husband. I missed you. Luo Bingke does. Author's notes. Is this a lead-on for Bing Luo Shen? Obviously, LMAO. Reader's notes. That was so good. I love Bing Luo being so incredibly attracted to Liu Qingyan. That he can't keep his hands off him. I feel like that's even more than Shen Qingqiu. Like, Bing Luo, you've been suppressing these thoughts, okay? Now, I am always a Bing Luo Shen. I'm sorry, but I just love everyone being happy. And if there are two extremely good ships, which is Bing Cho and Luo Shen, why not put them together and everyone can be happy? Easy. Yeah, this is so good. I mean, Asanor, pillar of the scum villain community, what can I say? And the Bing Luo Shen community and the what's Bingke and Liu Qingyan? Is it Bingke? No. Oh wait, maybe it's Bing Luo? I think maybe. I feel like I've seen that before. I'm not sure. But yeah, just really nicely written. And like, you can't go wrong with describing Luo Qingyan as pretty, beautiful, amazing, gorgeous, every 5 seconds. I mean, he's my son, so I you can't go wrong. I love it. But yeah, so this was for my MXTXtober prompts, for the prompt kiss, and obviously, like, they kind of, the whole lead up is to them kissing. So I actually chose, well, I was looking through Asanor's fics because I was like, I need to podfic one of them. And I was kind of I was going to try and shove it into my prompt, but actually it is a really nice fit. So I'm really glad that I chose this and I can finally get a, you know, it's not Bing Luo Shen, but in essence, it kind of is, you know? In my mind, 5 seconds after, well, no, 10 minutes after this, they can have a discussion and, you know, work it all out and everyone gets together. Anyway, but yeah, this was really fun. And if you enjoyed, please go back to the original fic and give kudos/comments and tell them how wonderful the fic was. And thank you to Asanor for having blanket permission to put a fic their works.
And I will see you all tomorrow for my next prompt.